kick off hour number three of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. This is a good one.
Yeah, really good. Best sitcom of all time.
Okay. I feel like you said that about five sitcoms.
30.
And none of them are the best.
Really, it's this or Silicon Valley that take the cake for me.
Silicon Valley is a premium, no commercial 28 minutes.
That's why he loves them.
I was at my wife's grandmother's house over the weekend for a minute, Chris, and Fresh Prince was on. You know, back in standard definition and everything, and I was like, this commercial break has been like 8 minutes. This is awful. Because I was trying to be like, oh, kids, you should watch some Fresh Prince. Because, I mean, they know who Will Smith is, and they don't even know Carlton's Carlton. They know whatever his name is, his real name is, and because he's on freaking Dancing with the Stars or whatever.
America's Funniest Home Videos now, too, I think.
Yeah. Well,
he may not do that anymore.
There will be no Fresh Prince today. It's too predictable.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But I was like, I was trying to keep them interested. You know, I was like, it was like one scene and then went a commercial break. And they're just like, can we change the channel? Commercials.
It's like listening to the animal.
Zing. Okay, so here's a really weird thing. If Nick Saban gets his way, right, and we play an 8-game schedule, seven teams rotate, you get one permanent opponent. Because Tennessee itself is in the, you know, East at the moment. Because you play Vanderbilt every year, and that kind of feels like a different type of SEC game. And this is even moving Auburn and Alabama to what I would – well, I guess it doesn't really – I moved Auburn and Alabama kind of the East half, and then I picked Tennessee – I built a schedule for Tennessee where I picked an Eastern team and a Western team, Eastern team and a Western team, all the way down through the thing. But because Auburn and Alabama are in the West right now, your schedule's going to go if this – plan wins out, your schedule is going to feel like you're playing an SEC West schedule like all the time.
Yep.
Because here's what it could look like. These could be your teams. Let's say on an odd year like this year, you would play Florida, Texas, Kentucky, Arkansas, Auburn, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt. And on the even year, you'd play Georgia, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, Missouri, Vanderbilt. Those are pretty balanced in terms of, I mean, because Florida and Georgia are opposite. Texas, Oklahoma are opposite. Kentucky, South Carolina, opposite. Auburn, Alabama, opposite. Arkansas, LSU, opposite. A&M, Missouri, opposite. The two Mississippi schools are opposite. And you play Vanderbilt every year. So, like, it doesn't get any more kind of balance than that. Obviously, some, you know, sometimes Auburn, LSU, depending on who's good, bad, whatever, you know. But both of those
looking
schedules.
Looking at it like that, though, like you never think, like, okay, this year is our year. It looks like it's all, I mean, those are two pretty strong schedules in a good way.
And I wonder, though, if you start doing that for three or four teams, then all of a sudden.
Yeah, then
it pigeonholes you into where someone else's can't be.
All the spots get eaten up. Yeah.
I like that setup.
Oh boy!
Keep
in mind though,
team.
That's one team, and you got to do that for everybody. Then you got to worry about when you play somebody. Where do the other games come in? I mean, like for example, Nate led with Georgia. If you go to 9, would we want Georgia like week 2?
No. Get it out of the way.
I mean, this is at 8. I mean, do you make? And from a scheduling standpoint, is it easier just to make, like, two halves, not necessarily geographically based, but just based on teams that are even? And that way, every team gets one of those two every year.
Like, so, start at the bottom and pair them up? Like,
right. So, for example, team that's not Ole Miss and Mississippi State will play one of those 1 year and the other year.
Right.
But here's where it gets tricky, right? Tennessee and Vanderbilt go together.
Yeah.
So that means if you do it that way, everybody's going to get Tennessee in 1 year and Vanderbilt in the other. Well, the year they catch Tennessee is going to make their schedule way tougher,
way harder,
at least in that one game scenario. So maybe that doesn't work. It's like these coaches, they don't care because they don't have to get into all this. They just get to spout off, and
yeah,
then they'll make Sankey deal with it. Or well, their ADs and their presidents on.
There was an article where Sankey said, like, nine's the way to go. But he's essentially hinting that, like, look, whatever they say they want, you know, we'll try to pacify them in the meantime. But he seems like it's going to be – it feels like he's going to push for nine, either this year or very soon. Sankey does believe they are poised for a vote this week.
On the schedule,
yes.
All right. Does Missouri play? I guess A&M every year. Because Texas has to play Oklahoma.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then
that kind of makes sense.
And then Arkansas is going to play LSU.
Battle for the boot.
I thought Missouri plays Arkansas every year. Is that what you just said, or did you say A&M? Because they play
A&M.
They play Arkansas every year.
But see that's what he's talking about.
Because Arkansas gets to play LSU within the division right now,
which is two West teams. Yeah. I mean, maybe if that cancels out the Tennessee Vanderbilt thing. But then, like, is it South Carolina, Kentucky? Like,
I think that has to be.
And then Florida, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. So
we get Vandy every year. Georgia and Florida get each other. Don't know how many people would be thrilled with that. I wouldn't care.
Yeah, I mean, if you build it as, like, you pair these teams up, and then you could just, I mean, I could move these teams around a little bit, but I got Tennessee with Vandy, Florida, Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma, Auburn, Alabama, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Missouri, A&M, Arkansas, LSU, South Carolina, Kentucky. But you'd want to balance that. Mm-hmm. So to balance Tennessee, Vanderbilt, I guess we want LSU on the Vandy side, Arkansas on the Tennessee side. We want A&M on the Vandy side, Missouri. So, like, you got some semi-balancing there. Like Tennessee's so much better than Vandy historically,
mm-hmm,
that we probably need a couple of those kind of hedge things. And I got Alabama on the Vandy side also. Maybe Georgia and Florida need to flip.
Yeah, like, what's the best, like, do you go to, like, historical powers, or do you just try to do it in the last, say, 15, 20 years? Do you go 10 years, like, to try to balance these up?
Yeah, I think you can have to look at both.
And then, obviously, like, what maybe that rivalry means to the people that are part of it. Like, I realize everyone keeps kind of pairing us with Vandy because it's in-state. Like, I would much rather play, like, Kentucky every year than Vanderbilt.
Sure.
Yeah. If I'm looking at the significance of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously.
But see, another problem is I don't think they can go right down the row like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do that, then, like, so at the moment I have Tennessee and Georgia from a scheduling standpoint on the same half.
Right.
So, but that means Tennessee and Georgia would essentially play the same schedule every year,
mm-hmm,
with the exception of their permanent opponent. But that's not going to make any sense because Alabama's going to play the exact opposite schedule.
Right.
So if those teams are vying for the conference championship, it's not going to tell you at all who's better because none of those teams are going to play each other.
Right.
Like, I don't.
Or have common opponents.
Or
really.
Or two out of those three aren't going to have any common opponents and aren't going to have played each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to somehow, like, meld the schedules together. And I don't even know if that works very well. I tried to start a fantasy football league one time, or I did. I started it. I scheduled. So in the NFL, you know, it's perfect because it's all basically multiples of four.
Yeah.
I started a fantasy football league and I was like, we'll have five divisions because I wanted to be more than the classical, like, 12-team league,
mm-hmm,
or 14. I was like, we're going to go to 20 teams. We have a 20-team league. Like, you know, 24 seemed like too many. 20 seemed right. I was like, we'll have 5 4-team divisions. And in those divisions, you'll play, like, your division teams twice, and then you can play the teams that finished, like, where you finished the previous year. This will be great. But the last few games that I needed to finish out the schedule that were, like, rotational games, it was a nightmare trying to figure out who's going to play who and what because of the odd number. And I know that you're like, well, Nate, there's 16 teams, and it's an 8-game schedule. All those numbers are nice. Yeah, but you're playing one team every year, and so really that's making it a 7-team rotation
out
of 16. The numbers are janky. Like, it works, but I don't know, as you're trying to determine the two best teams, if those schedules are going to even make any sense.
No, like, mathematically, the schedule works.
Right.
But when it comes to actually determining who should represent in Atlanta, or in some cases beyond.
Yeah.
Depending on what your schedule is in a given year, you know, the committee may look at you and say, yeah, they're 12-0, but we really don't have a good idea of how they would fare against those two teams or the teams that they played because they didn't play them. So imagine that. The SEC schedule makers, to make it nice and neat, keep you out of potentially the playoff because no one really knows how good you are.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, yeah, Tennessee went 10-2 and yada yada, but their strength of schedule is actually terrible this year because of the way the SEC schedule was, and they thought it would be tough, so they didn't schedule a big out of conference team, but it's kind of nutty, man. I mean, at least with the 12-team playoff, you'll if you win almost all your games, you're probably going to get in.
Sure, yeah.
But it'll still make for some weird situations.
Well, at least early on, like, I think the SEC would still get the benefit of the doubt. But
sure.
The worst thing that's going to happen is if a team does sneak into the playoff and they're not very good and all the metrics say they're not very good, but we couldn't prove it, then they go and get TCU'd by a not very good team, and it's like, wait. So the schedule being
Kentucky
balanced, like the schedule being balanced, let this team play a really weird schedule that really didn't give us an idea of how good they are.
Well,
then we put them in the playoff and they get shelled.
And it could be to the point where some of the, like, lower tier teams, their schedule's so imbalanced that they're like, you know, let's just redshirt you two. We got two great linebackers, so we're just going to redshirt them this year as we play these really good teams. Next year's our year, you know. You start coaching for the schedule.
Absolutely. Yep. You it's weird now, obviously, with, you know, NIL and transfer portal, but yeah, like, every coach is going to have what they consider a cycle up year in their you know, 4-year stretch.
Not
maybe
to mention
two.
The home and aways, you know.
Yeah.
You got to figure that part out too.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. We'll come back, more hour 3 next. Welcome back to 3 and Out, hour number 3. Talking about SEC scheduling. Still got those picks coming up for you on the baseball front. Last call for phone calls, 865-546-8200. We got Berto up next on the Big Orange Philly phone lines. What's up, Berto? You're on 3 and Out.
Greetings and salutations this morning, gentlemen, from the coast of the United States.
Well done.
You're welcome. That's all I got, guys. Have a good one.
All right, now,
thanks for the call.
So this SEC scheduling thing. So you're telling me Vandy's my reoccurring opponent, and then I'd get 7-7-7. And by the way, I think it was Jay that called in earlier. I couldn't tell, but, you know. The reason they're kicking the can down the road is they're trying to suck more money out of ESPN. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's
a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean,
of course they should.
Don't get, especially if they've already signed the contract and there's no wiggle room. Like, don't give them 9 until they're going to pay for it.
Yeah, and that's why I think they will. I think he's right in that way. I think they will go to 9 because I think you just have to. Because at some level, you're just not going to play every SEC school. Somehow, I guess you could, but it would have to be home and away for every SEC school. Now you'd have to do that's a tough number, right? Like you would never on a 7 or a 1-7, you'd never play at every at and against every SEC school at home and away, right? Mathematically, that's impossible.
No, what do you mean? Yeah, you would. That's exactly what you would do. It's
yeah, because you're the 16th team. You would play the 15th team, and the other seven would be yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry, brain fart. Yep. I'm on island time, gents.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, so, but still, I mean, I think that's the play personally. I think it would be a fine thing to stay, but I think you go to 9. I think a 3-6 would be pretty cool because then you know who you're getting. You know you're getting Alabama every year because Tennessee, it's going to really suck if they don't play Alabama every year. And you know what's going to really suck, guys? We don't suck anymore.
Mm. Yeah. And every schedule you make with the 7-1 thing feels like you're playing an SEC West schedule with Texas or Oklahoma thrown in as a non-conference. It does not feel right. Like, you'd have a schedule that's a perfectly balanced schedule would be Florida, Texas, Kentucky, Arkansas, Auburn, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt. That does not feel like a Tennessee schedule.
Mm-mm.
No, because I don't think you mentioned Georgia or Alabama. Affirmative.
Right. The other year would be Georgia, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Alabama, but then you still have to play LSU, Ole Miss, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. So it still feels really weird. I mean, so you could flip Florida and Georgia, but then the Georgia year is still going to feel strange, or it doesn't really work.
Maybe I'm a total weirdo. I don't mind rolling Georgia off just because I get so sick of their fans. They may be the worst fans in the SEC. It's a coin toss. Because they're indignant when they're good and they're indignant when they're bad. Florida's only indignant when they're good. They're pretty like whatever when they're bad. They don't even show up. Mm-hmm. So they don't really bother me because right now, Florida fans, they're nowhere to be found. Like, you can't find them with a compass and a map right now. So I think 3-6 is eventual. I do. But it's all a money grab right now. That's what it is. You guys are dead on with that. Boy, I tell you what, guys, when they announced, I was on the beach with a bunch of Clemson folks when they announced that Tennessee was playing Clemson. They are not happy down here.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I don't blame them, really. No. I mean, I don't know what Tennessee team's going to show up, but if I'm Clemson and they're the number 4 overall seed, yo, wait a minute. Like, Tennessee was widely considered to be the top number 2 seed, and then we
and some people had them fringy, maybe even in the tournament as a 16 or better.
Right, right.
So no. Well, here. I've never said this about a regional or anything like that or a draw in any – it's actually screwed both teams. It really did.
Hmm.
It's unfair to both teams. Tennessee should not have gotten a team as good as Clemson, period. But Clemson should not have gotten a team as good as Tennessee either. So rarely does that happen, but it did. But here's the wild thing, guys. The 3-4 seeds do not stink in this regional. Guys, you've seen Lipscomb this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their ace is good, good. Their ace is good, good, good.
Hmm.
Like, they could actually beat Clemson. Clemson's on a big win streak. Clemson may come in and overlook them. Lipscomb could get them. And don't ever tell me, I'm making a stump right now, don't ever tell me the NCAA does not do things in tournament time for matchups. You know, that's the big thing with Palm and all those guys. They claim the NCAA never sets up matchups in the tournament, even in the first or second rounds. Never, right? It's BS. Tennessee plays Charlotte. Charlotte's leading power hitter, who leads the nation in home runs, is from Knoxville.
Yeah.
And
HVA.
There you go. And here's another high heater. Our starting pitcher against them is going to be Andrew Lindsay, who pitched there 2 years ago. Don't tell me that doesn't happen. Don't sit there and try to tell me that. I think Tennessee's in for it, but it's good. If they had to hand pick a ballpark, Tennessee got lucky. It's going to be hot down here this week. Clemson is, for my money, a really small ballpark. The ball flies out of there. It's going to be good for Tennessee. Tennessee's got to hit a lot of home runs to win. We all know that. So I feel pretty confident that Tennessee and Clemson will eventually play in the championship of that regional, and then I think it's a coin flip. And if it comes down to bullpen, we're going to win. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks for the call.
Let's see here. Beautiful Tiger Field, it was called until 2003. Now it is Doug Kingsmore Stadium.
It is small.
The Doug. Yeah, left field 320, left center 370, center field 400, right center 375, right field 330. Could be good.
We got to take care of business first on Friday, though.
No, I know. Well, this, I'm just reading the park dimensions. Yeah, so. I know.
Well, the Greenville News, Greenville, South Carolina, not Tennessee.
Naturally.
Said, who will win the NCAA tournament? Clemson Baseball Regional. Our predictions are in. I was really hoping for maybe a little breakdown, maybe a little details on Clemson's roster, what they got going for them, where their weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even list the Tennessee game time.
Nice.
It said Clemson's the 4 seed. They were rewarded for their midseason turnaround and their current 16-game winning streak with a very tough draw in the regional. So they open against Lipscomb, the A-Sun champs, who are 14th in the nation in home runs. And then it says, also in Clemson's regional, Tennessee and Charlotte. And then it's like, will Clemson advance? Our predictions. Scott says,
Scott, just sold Scott.
Scott Kiepfer?
Kiepfer, yeah.
Yeah. Clemson insider.
Oh, he's an insider.
He said it would be difficult to pick against Clemson considering the way the Tigers have been playing of late. This is a much different team than the one we saw early in the season, and the reborn Tigers into the regional riding a 16-game winning streak and showing few, if any, chinks in their armor. Got to go with Clemson.
I mean, 16-game winning streaks, that's all fine and dandy, but what I hear is they're due one.
Mm-hmm.
Hang
on. Christina Long, Clemson beat writer, says, it is hard to pick against Clemson, but streaks end eventually. Tennessee is not a perfect team, and it has struggled on the road, but the Volunteers have a lineup full of talent, a solid pitching staff, and plenty of power in their bats. I think it will be close, but Tennessee will advance.
Christina Long.
There you go. That was the end of the article. All right, what you got, Hickman?
So Charlotte and Clemson, just looking at some big games on Clemson's schedule this year, they actually played Charlotte, beat them 9-5. They played South Carolina in a weekend series earlier in the year, and they lost 2-1. So there's that. South Carolina beat them 7-1, 11-9, and then they beat South Carolina 5-1.
So they took game three.
They took game one. I literally did that in reverse.
Oh, okay, gotcha, gotcha.
But, yeah.
And what was the score of that one that they won? You said 5-1?
The one that they won was, 5-1.
Okay.
As of late, not really late, but I guess this was a couple of weeks ago. The ACC does their schedule weird. Like, they played Boston College a couple of weeks ago. They won 4-1. But then they also played Boston College, who we lost to in a 3-game series in April, and they also won that 2-1. 6-3, 9-7 were the wins, and they lost game one 3-1. And they lost to Georgia 5-4.
Okay.
In the middle of April.
We should have taken that series.
Uh-huh. But then they also beat Georgia 8-1. Not impressed.
Be kind of cool to send Clemson home with another L at the end of a season, though. Just saying.
I think we will.
Beat him in the Orange Bowl, and you get this opportunity, a little postseason.
X-Factor Jared Dickey.
Well, he said that the rest they got this week was really, really good for him with the shoulder.
That's good.
All right. Maybe we'll be refreshed, get on a tear.
Need it.
Yep. We'll come back with more Hour 3. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back to 3 and Out. right here on Fan Run Radio. So, yeah, Clemson beat reporter picking Tennessee.
Not going to make a lot of friends that way.
Mm-mm.
But I appreciate the honesty or just the intentional jabs taken at the fan base, you know. Maybe she knows her research. Maybe
she's done her research.
I don't know. Do you have any expectations for this this weekend?
Have none. You won't be disappointed.
I mean, even if you wanted to have some, like, you're just kind of guessing at that point. Like, I don't know which Tennessee team's going to show up.
I kind of have a feeling that we are worrying for no reason and that we are going to look back at this and we might think, oh, wow, that was all for nothing.
What do you mean? Worrying about what?
I wouldn't be surprised if we won the region with ease.
With ease?
Yeah.
I mean, would you be surprised? I mean, I don't think I'd be surprised. I'd be delighted.
One, I think the SEC is such a superior conference in college baseball. I think it's not even funny, and it shouldn't even be possible how good the conference is from top to bottom. I mean, A&M, who was dead the back half of the season, went on a run to the conference championship game. Mm-hmm. Two, I think our pitching, which had been really inconsistent on the year, I think you got great performances out of Lindsey, Dolander, and Beam to wrap up conference play. So I feel like we're fine.
Sorry.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Watch it.
Whee!
What's the video?
I mean, it's this car. It looks like a Hot Wheels ramp.
Oh, when it jumps the tow truck?
No, that was a different one. This one goes
right through a gym.
Like into a gym.
I mean, it flies like almost 100 yards. Look at that thing.
I know.
It's on TikTok. I can't believe you haven't seen this. It comes off the side of the interstate. It jumps off of, like, I guess, another vehicle somehow. You can't really tell. But then it has great shots of the hole that it came through, like this aluminum gym, and it's in there, like, you know, about.
Does it come through the ceiling?
The top of the wall.
Like, where the scoreboard is.
But, I mean, like, so it got some launch.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
About to the hash mark where Rick Barnes never stands.
Okay.
Where other coaches coach from on the court?
Ah, Clemson was swept by Wake Forest. We like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're the best team in the country. Yeah.
Just saying, they're, you know, okay. If they'd have taken one or two from Wake Forest, I'd have been even more nervous.
We need to make our Omaha predictions tomorrow. Or Friday, whenever.
When's our first game?
Friday, 6 p.m. on ESPNU.
Okay. So the first one, Clemson game's at 1, and we follow after that.
Sounds
six.
Right.
6, okay. Got it.
What, so about 1 to 4, 2 hours for warming up, any field preparations that might need to be made. And, like, do we know what the deal on Saturday is if we win Friday?
Oh, like what the schedule would be?
Yeah. I mean, you're playing Saturday regardless, right?
Yes. I would assume it's maybe the same schedule, losers first, though.
Yeah, wouldn't mind that.
Oh, I'm checking Clemson Wire to see.
There you go.
They say they got a schedule here.
I got a pool party to be at Saturday, so scheduling might be conflicting here.
Well, really? Like, that's... all right, man.
All right, so, yeah, the losers are actually going to play at noon. Wait. Yeah, noon on Saturday. The winners are going to play at 6 on Saturday night. And then that schedule follows the same for Sunday. The loser and then winner of the loser's game will play at noon on Sunday, and then the winners will play at 6 p.m. on Sunday. That will be for one team to advance, whoever's been a win-win. If they win that game,
so
Sunday,
what time Sunday?
6.
6 Sunday.
Yeah, and then the if necessary game will be on Monday. If the team coming out of the loser's bracket wins that Sunday game at 6. That time to be determined. So, you want to keep your 6 o'clock window open, hopefully. Things are going well. It would be nice if Lipscomb's ace, you know, throws like, goes like eight innings, gives up one hit. They upset Clemson. And then, you know, Tennessee takes care of Charlotte. And then you get to play Lipscomb in the winner's bracket game against the, you know, pitcher that's not as good.
So mm-hmm. Sunday night, though, we could be moving on to the Supers.
Sunday at 6, yeah.
Is that the earliest it could happen?
Yes. Sunday at 6, two teams are going to play, and if the team that's won the first two wins, they're going through.
And then if the other team wins, they got to play on Monday?
Monday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah. You know, we didn't really have to deal with this. We were on the opposite end of this last year, where mm-hmm. it's like, oh, man, the other, you know. But sometimes I guess that's the way the 2 or 3 seed can get through. And we'll see how it shakes out. Final segment of the program next. Final segment of the program. SEC spring meetings and a little baseball talk. If you miss any portion, check out the podcast. Get those directly to your device by subscribing through iTunes. All the shows right here at Fan Run Radio.
The Lady Vols are in Oklahoma City. Taking a little BP.
Okay. What's their schedule?
I don't know.
You know? Oh, sorry.
All I know about women's softball is nobody outside of Oklahoma has a chance of winning it.
That's not true. Come on, man. We got a chance. We're there.
I know they have Alabama in the first matchup, right?
I believe so.
Got to play Alabama again.
That Texas game was hype.
Tomorrow at noon, ESPN, Tennessee, Alabama.
Did you watch the Texas game?
No. Wait.
The inside the park grand slam?
I didn't see that.
That was a couple errors.
That should have been a single.
It was a single. It was scored a single with big time mistakes.
Yeah. I just feel like
it was game two. We took all of them. We swept the region.
I watched a good bit of game one, but I just kind of
we were up 3-0 in the sixth, and then just blew it open.
I didn't watch. I caught some highlights of it though.
You should have watched. It was fun.
So we really got the raw end of the draw in the World Series though, because Oklahoma's on our half, Alabama, another SEC team's on our half. And the other side, Utah, the 15 seed, made it. Washington the 7, Oklahoma State the 6, and Florida State the 3. They're good. But Oklahoma's the 1, Tennessee 4, Alabama 5, and Stanford 9. Those are on that half. So Tennessee plays Alabama on tomorrow at noon, and then they will, if they lose, they'll play Friday. If they win, they play Saturday against the winner or loser of Oklahoma-Stanford. Basically, you're trying to win that pod, and if you win that pod, you go to the best out of 3 championship finals.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I remember Oklahoma had that one girl last year who was just a beast.
Seems like they have a couple girls like that every year. They're loaded.
This girl, I mean, I think she could hit bombs in Lindsey Nelson.
Oklahoma's only 56-1 this year, though, so they did have the one.
Who was the loss to?
Holy crap.
So you're saying there's a chance. Well, Clemson had them. Clemson had them beat.
And really?
They let them come back. Oh, I mean, it was only going to be the first loss.
Oh, okay.
I think it went to 9 innings. They gave up a 3-run home run to tie in the 7th. And then I think they walked it off with a home. I can't remember who was home in the
wow. They were undefeated in conference play. So I'm trying to find the loss. Was it early in the season? Oh, Baylor. But that wasn't a conference game, apparently. It was in some classic.
Gotcha.
The Getterman Classic. Baylor beat them 4-3.
So they've lost one game all year by one run.
In February.
Yeah. What is that now? Is that their 40? They've won 48 in a row?
Something like that. 56-1, yeah. Ho-hum. Yeah, Clemson 8-7 in 9 innings. That was game 2. They beat Clemson 9-2 in the first game, so. That
was apparently Baylor has a drop ball pitcher.
A drop ball pitcher. Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Just drop. Just the opposite of the rise ball?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Has Oklahoma won the national championship the last 3 seasons?
I don't know.
So they went this year. Obviously, they were 56-1. They were 59-3 last year and 56-4 the year before. Yeah, so they've won the last two national championships.
The last two,
probably going to be the last three. Of course, it was canceled for COVID.
Yeah, they were the runner-up before that. Then they made it the year before that, and then they won back-to-back the 2 years before that.
16-7.
They beat us in the Natty.
1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. 4, 5, 6. So out of the last six that have been played, they've won 4 out of the 6 national championships.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
They also haven't missed one since 2015.
Yeah, 5 out of the last 9 going back to 2013. So pretty good. Pretty good run there for Patty Gasso.
They've missed one Women's College World Series since 2011.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Well, since 2010, yeah, because they made it in 11.
Well, that's what I meant. Like,
right, right. 11, they started making it, and they only missed one in 15.
15.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
That's a run. Man.
Patty Gasso.
She's been there since 1995.
She's won 80% of her games.
It's pretty good.
Six national championships. Won her first in 2000, then it took her a while to get back. Yeah, that's dynasty right there.
Yeah.
Well, at least we get to ease into it, you know, get a win over Alabama to get things started. Then we'll take our best shot.
She's been a number one seed 4 straight times.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yikes. Jeez. All right. Feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Got to welcome them to the SEC. Joe Castiglione. It's the AD.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess we better get to know those guys, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get on that.
Okay.
Hickman, ready for a road trip?
I've been looking forward to this for a week.
We're here to work. We're
and
here to work.
Cheesesteak burritos.
And kolaches.
Whatever that is.
And jerky.
All right.
Maybe some tacos. I don't know.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Don't know if we'll have enough time.
Tune in then for 3 and Out.
Hey, Knoxville. This is Dr. Bree from Malone & Co.